Welcome to the deep dive. So you've sent over a huge stack of info on schizophrenia, huh? Looks like we're diving headfirst into this one. We're talking everything from clinical definitions and risk factors to symptoms, treatments, you name it.
Yeah, it's a pretty complex area. But hey, that's what we're here for, right? To break it all down and find those golden nuggets of knowledge.
Exactly. So let's start with the basics. When we say schizophrenia, what are we actually talking about? It's not about multiple personalities, right? I feel like that's a common misconception.
Yeah, you're right to point that out. It's a really common misconception. We're talking about a brain disorder that really messes with how a person thinks, feels, and even interacts with the world around them. Think of it like losing touch with reality, especially during what we call psychotic episodes.
Okay, that makes sense. And it's not exactly a rare condition, is it? I mean, our sources mentioned it affects something like 1% of the population globally, which is...
Yeah, about 1 in every 100 people, so not rare at all. And definitely something that needs our attention, especially considering it can show up in so many different ways. That's why understanding the whole spectrum of symptoms is so important.
Right. And speaking of symptoms, our sources mentioned these three main categories.
Yeah.
Positive, negative, and cognitive. Sounds like we're about to get into the nitty-gritty.
We are. Think of positive symptoms as those experiences that are kind of added to a person's reality. And the most well-known example is probably hallucinations, especially the auditory kind.
Like hearing voices, right?
Exactly. Imagine how unsettling it would be to constantly hear voices that feel so real but aren't actually there. And it's not limited to just hearing either. Hallucinations can involve any of the senses, seeing things, smelling things, even feeling sensations on their skin.
Wow, that would be incredibly disorienting. And what about delusions? That's another big one, isn't it?
Absolutely. Delusions are these false beliefs that are held with such strong conviction, even when there's evidence that contradicts them. For instance, someone might become convinced that they're being followed, or that someone is controlling their thoughts. Or they might have delusions of grandeur, believing they have superpowers or some incredibly important figure.
So it's not just like having unusual thoughts. It's about these really strong, unshakable beliefs that actually shape their whole reality.
Exactly. And then we have negative symptoms, which are much more subtle, but just as important. Instead of things being added to a person's experience, it's more about things that are missing or diminished.
Okay, so I'm seeing the difference now. What are some examples of these missing pieces, so to speak?
Well, imagine someone who was once really lively and expressive, but now their emotions seem blunted, their face kind of blank. That's what we call flat effect. Or someone who was once super driven and motivated, but now they struggle to find the energy to do even the simplest things.
So it's almost like these negative symptoms are kind of chipping away at who a person is, you know, like at their core.
That's a really good way to put it. And it's one of the reasons why diagnosing schizophrenia can be so tricky, because these negative symptoms can easily be mistaken for something else, like depression, social anxiety, even just quirks of their personality.
Makes sense. It really highlights how crucial it is to have a thorough evaluation and understand the full scope of what someone's experiencing.
Exactly. And then there's a third dimension, cognitive symptoms. These often slip under the radar, but they can have a massive impact on everyday life.
Okay, so cognitive symptoms. What exactly falls under that category?
Think of things like memory problems, difficulty paying attention, and impairments in executive function. You know, the ability to plan, organize, and make decisions.
So it's not just about what's going on externally, but also how their brain is processing everything internally.
Exactly. Imagine struggling to follow a conversation or constantly forgetting things, misplacing your keys. These cognitive challenges are incredibly frustrating and make it so much harder to function in day-to-day life.
It sounds like an awful lot to navigate, and we haven't even touched on what causes all of this yet.
And that's where things get even more interesting, because the causes of schizophrenia are this complex mix of genetic predispositions, brain chemistry imbalances, and environmental triggers. We're back. Ready to untangle this web of causes behind schizophrenia. It's kind of like a detective story, right?
Right. We've got our clues, our suspects. Where do we even start with this investigation?
Well, our sources seem to agree that genes are a pretty big piece of the puzzle. But it's not as simple as inheriting, like, a single schizophrenia gene.
Okay, so it's more nuanced than that.
Exactly. It's more like you inherit certain combinations of genes that can increase your susceptibility, you know, your chances of developing the condition. Like, imagine it as inheriting a deck of cards.
And some decks might make you more vulnerable to whatever hand you get dealt.
Yeah, exactly. It's not guaranteed, but the odds might be stacked a certain way. And that's where brain chemistry comes into play, particularly this neurotransmitter called dopamine.
Dopamine, right? Isn't that the one that's associated with pleasure and reward? The feel-good chemical.
That's the one. But it also plays a key role in regulating emotions, movements, even our thought processes. And in individuals with schizophrenia, research suggests there might be some dysregulation in the dopamine system.
So, like, the messaging is getting scrambled somewhere along the way.
Yeah, think of it like a message relay system, and the signals are getting crossed. Too much dopamine in certain areas of the brain could be contributing to things like hallucinations and delusions.
Fascinating. So genes might be loading the gun, dopamine's pulling the trigger,
Yeah.
but then our sources bring up environment too, right? Like that plays a role.
Oh, absolutely. Even with those genetic predispositions and the brain chemistry stuff, environmental factors can be what tips the scales.
So what kind of environmental influences are we talking about here?
Well, let's say someone's already genetically predisposed to schizophrenia. Now imagine they experience a major trauma, something like a car accident or a sudden loss of a loved one, or even something like intense bullying or social isolation.
These are major life events for sure.
Exactly. And for someone who's already vulnerable, those stressful experiences can be a trigger. It's like the straw that breaks the camel's back, you know?
Wow, so we've got this whole nature versus nurture thing going on, and it sounds like it's not always easy to tease those factors apart.
It really isn't. And it gets even more complicated because our sources point to the possibility of prenatal factors playing a role too.
Prenatal, like even before birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty mind-blowing, right? Researchers are finding these fascinating links between certain prenatal factors and a higher risk of developing schizophrenia later in life.
So, like, what kind of prenatal factors are we talking about here?
Well, for example, complications during pregnancy or childbirth, things like low birth weight, exposure to certain infections in the womb, or even malnutrition during pregnancy.
It's amazing to think that something that happens even before we're born can have such a profound impact later in life.
It really highlights how interconnected everything is, right? Our biology, our environment, our experiences, it's all intertwined.
And it sounds like there's still so much we don't know.
Absolutely. But every new piece of research brings us one step closer to understanding this incredibly complex puzzle. And that understanding is what paves the way for more effective treatments and support. Speaking of treatment, can we actually cure schizophrenia? Or is it more about management?
So let's talk treatment. When it comes to schizophrenia, is a cure even possible? Or is it more about managing the condition?
You know, I wish we had a simple answer, but unfortunately, there isn't a one-size-fits-all cure for schizophrenia. It's more about managing it as a chronic illness, much like how we approach things like diabetes or heart disease.
Okay, that makes sense. It's about finding ways to live a full and meaningful life, even with the challenges that come with schizophrenia. So, what does that management actually look like?
Well, it usually involves a multi-pronged approach.
Wow.
One of the cornerstones is antipsychotic medication. These meds can be really effective in managing how intense those positive symptoms we talked about, the hallucinations, delusions, can get.
So they basically dial down the volume on those experiences, help ground the person in reality a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. And by helping to regulate those dopamine levels, which we think are a bit out of whack in schizophrenia, these medications can really help someone feel more tethered to reality. And that's obviously super important if they're going to engage in therapy and all the other aspects of recovery.
Which brings us to another critical piece of the puzzle, therapy. Our sources seem to point to cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, as a particularly effective approach for schizophrenia.
Yeah.
What is it about CBT that makes it so valuable in this context?
I think it's the empowerment aspect, you know. CBT really equips individuals with these tools and techniques they can use to challenge those distorted thoughts, those beliefs that just aren't based in reality.
So instead of feeling powerless against those intrusive thoughts and voices, CBT gives them a way to actually confront and manage those experiences.
Right. Imagine learning to question those paranoid thoughts, test them against reality, or developing coping strategies to deal with those voices so they don't have as much power. That's huge.
It sounds like it. Having that sense of agency, of being able to actively participate in your own recovery, that's got to be incredibly powerful. And CBT isn't the only type of therapy that can be helpful, right? What about social skills training? That seems like it could be super beneficial for someone struggling with the social anxiety and withdrawal that can come with schizophrenia.
Absolutely. Social skills training is all about building bridges back to social connection. It helps people practice communication skills, build their confidence in social settings, and hopefully reduce some of that fear and anxiety that can lead to isolation.
It sounds like a really powerful combination medication to help manage those really intense symptoms, and then therapy to equip individuals with the skills and support they need to thrive. But our sources also talk about how crucial family support is.
Oh, for sure. Schizophrenia doesn't just impact the individual, right? It affects families and loved ones too, and their support can make a world of difference.
So it's about supporting both the person with schizophrenia and their entire support network.
Exactly. It's about creating the space where everyone can communicate more openly, understand the illness better, and ultimately strengthen those bonds. Because recovery, you know, it's rarely a solo journey.
That's a really important point. It takes a village, right? And on that note, I think it's time we address something that often casts a shadow over this whole conversation. The stigma surrounding schizophrenia. Our sources really emphasize how that stigma can be a major barrier, not just to seeking help, but to living a fulfilling life.
Oh, absolutely. Stigma is like this invisible weight that so many people with schizophrenia carry around, and it can be just as debilitating as the illness itself.
It's heartbreaking. What do you think fuels this stigma? Is it fear? Misunderstanding? A little bit of both.
It's probably a combination, right? You've got these sensationalized portrayals of mental illness in movies and the media, the whole split personality myth, this association with violence, which is just not true and incredibly damaging.
We got to challenge those stereotypes. Knowledge is power, as they say.
100%. The more we understand about schizophrenia, the less likely we are to buy into those harmful narratives. It's about recognizing that this is a mental illness just like any other, and that people who live with it deserve our compassion, understanding, and support, not our judgment.
Well said. Now, speaking of support, our sources also touch on the importance of early intervention. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like and why it's so crucial?
Absolutely. Early intervention can be a game changer, seriously. Imagine someone who's starting to experience those very first subtle signs of psychosis. Maybe they're withdrawing from friends and family, their grades are slipping, they're saying things that just seem a little off. Catching those early warning signs and getting them help right away can have a huge impact on how their journey with schizophrenia unfolds.
So it's about recognizing those red flags and not just brushing them off as a phase or teen angst or something like that.
Exactly. Trust your gut. If something feels off, reach out to a mental health professional. The earlier we intervene, the better the chances of positive outcomes, both in terms of managing symptoms and improving long-term quality of life.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about getting ahead of the curve,
yeah,
intervening before those symptoms escalate and cause even more disruption in someone's life.
Exactly. And it's not just about professional help either. It's about creating these communities and support systems where people with schizophrenia feel safe, understood, and empowered to live full and meaningful lives.
That's a powerful message, and I think a perfect note to end on. This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening, and we hope it sparked your curiosity to keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep challenging your own assumptions about schizophrenia and those who live with it. Because at the end of the day, knowledge really is power, and understanding is the first step towards a more compassionate and inclusive world. Until next time, happy diving.